Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I don't have very long, and I didn't prepare much this evening as I've been engaged in quite a few other things. And but as I was doing my devotions this week, I began to think about all the ways that the Bible speaks of the relationship of the believer to Christ. All the glorious ways that the Bible describes in various different terms the believer's relationship to Christ. And in John chapter 15, in verses 5 through 15, we find three of those descriptions in this text. Three ways that the Bible describes, or three terms that the Bible uses to describe the believer's relationship to Christ. And they're just interesting to meditate upon and to think upon. And I believe that we can learn something, we can be taught something if we would think upon these terms, or our relationship to Christ in regard to these terms, in reference to these terms. But John chapter 15, beginning at verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch that and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." In this passage, Jesus uses three words, three terms, to describe the position of every Christian in relation to himself. He calls us branches, he calls us disciples, and he calls us friends. And these are not empty titles, because they come from the mouth of the Lord himself, first of all. And with that said, when we read these titles, we are given, as believers in relation to Christ, it should either bring us great joy or great sorrow. Great joy if we can call ourselves his and are living in accordance with his word, living in accordance with his will, with his leadership, and great sorrow if we are lost, or if we may be saved and are out of fellowship with him. If we are living in accordance to his will, living in accordance to his leading, then our joy comes from the benefits that each of these positions bring us. If we're lost, or if we're a Christian who are away from Christ, out of fellowship with Christ, then sorrow comes because of the benefits that we forfeit in regard to these descriptions, in regard to these terms that describe our relationship to him. So how are we to benefit from each of these positions and have joy in our lives? Well, the benefit from being a branch, we have to abide. To benefit from being a disciple, we have to follow and we have to bear fruit. And to benefit from being a friend, we have to be obedient. So what are the benefits of being in these positions? First of all, as a branch, we receive. Verse 5 says this, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. I believe that it's the heart desire of every truly born-again believer to experience the fullness of Christ and life in Christ and be faithful in service to him, to be fruitful in service to him. But that cannot happen unless we are dependent upon the vine who is Christ for life-giving power. Unless we are dependent upon the vine, which is Christ, for everything that we need in this life. Unless we are abiding in him, unless we are living in accordance to his Spirit, we will not have that which we need. He is our source. He is the source of all things that the Christian needs in this life. I mean, just listen to how it's said in the verse. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I am him, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. A.W. Pink says that believers who try to live the Christian life apart from Christ, apart from abiding in the vine, which is Christ, are people whose lives are dead and lifeless. He that abideth in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, independent of me, relying on your own abilities, relying on your own talents, strategizing as you might, you can do nothing. You can do absolutely nothing. We are dependent upon the vine for everything. And you know what? The vine is always available. In John chapter 14 and verse 19, we read these words, Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. Because I live, you also will live. Let me ask you something. How long will Christ live? For eternity. He's going to live for eternity. So if Christ is the vine and he lives for eternity, then that means that the branches who are you and I have continual access to life-giving power in Christ, life-saving guidance in Christ, direction for success in the spiritual realm, as well as success in the everyday things of life that have to be carried out and taken care of down here, this side of glory. That's what we have in Christ. If we're abiding in Christ. And you know what Christ tells us to do here as the vine? You know what the vine calls upon the branches to do? The vine calls upon the branches to take, take, take. That's what Christ calls upon the branches to do. And he says it in various different ways. Let him that is thirsty take. Or if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The vine says, take, take, take. I'm here. I'm available. I'm your source. And come to me. Abide in me. Take from me. Benefit from me. That's the invitation of Christ to his people. But the only way that we can reap this benefit of receiving from Christ as the branches is to abide in him. Abide in him. Now, we can make that very complex, but what does it mean to abide in him? It means to be in his word. It means to be near to him. It means to commune with him in prayer. It means to meet him in worship. It means to meet him in the other means of grace, such as the Lord's Supper, and those kinds of things. But the only way that that you and I can fulfill our heart's desire to be better Christians? And how many of us want to be better Christians? We all do. That's the desire of the inner man, of the believer. The only way that we can be better Christians and be more successful in our service to the Lord is to abide in Him. The Christians that I meet who are the most sorrowful, the Christians I meet who seem to be stagnant, the Christians I meet who are often complaining about being stagnant, are those who are not abiding in Christ, but they're trying to live independently of the vine. They're trying to do life their way, relying upon their own skills, their own reason, their own abilities, their own talents, and they're in Christ, but they're dead, they're stagnant, and they're empty. And that would be their confession. But we are to abide in Him as branches. We are to abide in the vine, which is the source of everything that we need. Branches, as branches, folks, we receive. We receive from the vine. Secondly, we are called disciples in this text. Look at verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As disciples, we follow. We follow as disciples. The definition of a disciple is one who believes and follows and even teaches the teachings of another. That's a disciple. He says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. He continues to use this metaphor of a vine in this text and branches. And the idea is, if the branch is abiding in the vine, if the branch is following from the vine, then the branch will carry out the purpose for which the vine had been given. That's the idea. What was Christ doing when He was in the world? What was He doing? He was glorifying the Father. That's what He was doing. He was seeking and saving the lost. He was redeeming the lost of this world. And in so doing, He was glorifying the Father. He glorified the Father in the way He lived. I mean, when it came time for Him to be crucified, they couldn't find anything to charge Him with. They had to trump up charges in order to hang Him on a cross. He lived an impeccable life, glorifying the Father in this world. And as believers, the idea is that our purpose in this world should look something like the Lord Jesus's. Our purpose in this world is we are to glorify the Father and we are to exemplify Christ. We glorify the Father by exemplifying Christ in this world. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's the chief end of man. And as believers, we glorify God as we exemplify Christ, as we exemplify the Son in this world. And in order to do that, we have to be dependent upon the vine. We have to be dependent upon Christ. It's impossible to exemplify Christ, live for Christ, witness for Christ, and glorify the Father if we're living independently of the vine. I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know this evening. I'm not saying anything profound this evening. But without depending on the vine, there's no way that we can live lives that exemplify Christ, who is the vine. And if you want to get rejection after rejection after rejection when you go out to witness, then live independently of the vine, live independently of Christ, and I guarantee you, you will not be able to exemplify Christ in a way that would make Him attractive in the world in which we live. You can't live like hell every day of the week but Sunday and then try to win souls for the Lord. It doesn't work that way. We have to every day seek to live circumspect lives in accordance to the will and the guidance and the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit if we are to exemplify Him in this world. Now, none of us are perfect, and part of maturing as a Christian is admitting that you're not perfect and you're never going to be perfect, but we are to strive for perfection. We are to strive for Christ-likeness. We are to strive for holiness. We are to pursue holiness. That is to be our life's endeavor. But if we are not connected to the vine, which is Christ, we will not be able to live for Him the way that we should in this world. Thus, when we go out to share Christ, our message has no integrity because our lives don't back it up either. We give our message integrity. Our message is given integrity and made attractive to a lost world with a life that exemplifies Jesus. I was talking to someone, you know, it's a shame. There seems to be this antinomian mindset in the church today where the idea is, well, it's the opposite. It's what, you know, people think they're saved. We're saved by grace. We're on our way to heaven. We've got our ticket. We're in. And so therefore, because Christ, we're saved by grace, and Christ is so gracious, and we have freedom in Christ, then we can simply live however we want, and we'll still be okay. In other words, should we sin more so that grace may abound more? What did the Apostle Paul say? God forbid. No. But there are many in the church today who live that way. I know that Anna had a friend in our neighborhood. Her parents were, you know, claimed to be Christians, went to a local church, but on the weekends they went out and partied with fellow church members in bars and would take pictures of those things and put them on Facebook. And I'm like, man, you just lost all credibility. And I see that a lot. I see somebody, you know, put a Bible verse on Facebook and maybe put some good gospel Christian quotes from some wonderful writers and authors, and then you scan down and they're cussing somebody out, or they're posting pictures of them out in a bar somewhere partying, and I'm just like, man, you just shot your credibility with me. I can't stand that kind of thing. You see, by adhering to the mind and the will of the Lord and growing spiritually in our personal lives, we are declaring ourselves to be walking in His footsteps. We exemplify Him in the world. But how can we claim the benefit of being a follower of Christ? How can we maintain a viable relationship with the vine? Well, it says, John 8 and verse 31 says, "If you continue in my word, you're my disciples." I hope we understand that this right here, this book, is infallible. It's inspired, divinely inspired. It's inerrant. And it is our only authority. And it is our only guide for faith and practice, for works and deeds. It is our only one. So, as branches we receive, as disciples we follow, and we exemplify Christ in the world. But then we are called something else in verses 14 and 15. He says, "You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus calls us His friends. He doesn't call us His project. He doesn't call us his idea. He doesn't call us his patients. He calls us his friends. A.W. Pink said this. I was looking at his commentary. He said, you know, Jesus calls us his friends, but how many really appreciate the desire of Jesus to be our friend? He goes, I don't think many do. But he's our friend. We are his friends. Friend comes a whole lot closer than servant. Friend comes a whole lot closer than disciple. Friend comes a whole lot closer than branch. We are his friends. We're not his servants, although we are his servants, but he doesn't call us his servants. He says, look, I call you friends. I no longer call you servants. You know, a servant doesn't even know what the master is doing. You're my friends. You're my friends. And so therefore, all that I've heard from the Father, I've made known to you. All that I've heard from the Father, I've shared with you. Christ here is getting intimate with us. He's getting intimate with us. Right here, he's saying, I know you. I know you well. And I want you to know me. I want to share with you all of me. And I want you to share with me all of you. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. You think about what friends share. Friends share secrets. Friends share sympathies. Friends share sufferings. Friends share consolations. And Christ does all of those with us. Think about the secrets that God's people know. Think about that. Especially in our day, as New Testament saints, we know things that the prophets didn't know. We know things now that the angels longed to know. He has shared secrets with us. He has revealed himself to us. He's made himself known to us. He shares his sympathies with us. You know, he's not a high priest who cannot be touched by our infirmities. He sympathizes with us in our infirmities. He knows our sufferings. Now, the Apostle Paul said that his greatest desire was to know the sufferings of Christ, and we should know the sufferings of Christ, desire to know those sufferings as well. But he knows our sufferings. I think it's the psalmist who tells us that our Father in heaven is a Father who is moved in pity on behalf of his children. It's not that he just says, oh man, you know, I feel bad for them, that they're going through that. You know, I hate it for them. No, he's moved to do something on behalf of his children. Doesn't just say, man, I'm sorry. He's moved to do something for us. And he consoles us. He consoles us. The wonderful counselor is what he's called. Man, if anybody knows the words that we need to hear, when everybody else is feeding us all those great Christian cliches during difficult times, oh, they're in a better place and all those other things, you know, which doesn't comfort us any at all. The Lord Jesus knows how to console us. He knows what we need to hear. He knows what needs to be whispered in our ears. He knows what needs to be said in order to put our minds at ease and to calm our troubled souls. He knows those things. But how do we benefit from, how can we claim the benefits of being his friends? It's obedience. It's obedience. You are my friends if you do what I command you. We are his friends. We'll forever be his friends. But the way that we can claim the benefits of knowing what it's like to be a friend of Jesus is to be obedient. Obedient. So I just want to share this with you. As branches, we receive. As disciples, we follow. And as friends, we commune. We commune with him. We have that wonderful privilege. Any time of the day. You know, there's never a bad connection with heaven. Never a bad connection. You know, Spectrum's always down in my neighborhood. Always. Seems like every day somebody's posting on our Sable Lakes Facebook page. Is anybody else's spectrum connection down? It's always down. But there's never a bad connection with heaven. That line is always open. And you know what? Our God invites us. He invites us to come before His throne of grace and to share with Him our hearts, our desires, our longings. That's what He desires. He desires, as it were, for us to crawl up in His big lap and for Him to put His arms around us and to share time with us, communing with us. He's a good God. He is a good God. You on the beach, but yesterday morning you said you got to see some of that goodness. All of us get to see some of that goodness anytime we get to wake up in the morning and open our eyes, even if it's the walls of our home. Isn't it a blessing to have a home? God's provided that. He's good. Let's pray. Father God, we love You and we thank You for Your word. We pray, Lord, that each and every one of us have been encouraged this evening. Lord, may we never cease to think about the blessed relationship that we have with You. The glorious ways that You describe that relationship. The tender ways that You express that relationship. How You feel about us. We are so undeserving of Your goodness. We're so undeserving of Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. But You purposed to bestow all those things upon us. Not because of anything in us, but because of who You are. And we are grateful. What a blessing it is to be called Yours and to be able to call You ours. And to know that one day, when this troubled life is over, we're going to spend an eternity with You, in Your presence, around the throne, singing a new song with the rest of the saints in glory, the rest of the just men made perfect. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Go with us as we leave this place. Lord, protect us, keep us safe and healthy until we are able to meet again. And we ask this in Jesus' name.